Growing in Christ, the chief aim here at Abounding Grace. Join us. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in London. Our time together today will return us to God's Word and some casual conversations with our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon, that we might be encouraged in Christ, that we might grow in His grace. Won't you join us? Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, again, welcome to Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and again, we're taking up the wonderful subject of the role of the Christian husband. We've been looking at these for the past few weeks, the roles that God has established at creation for the man and for the woman. And when these things, of course, break down, we looked at society crumbles. And it's not surprising that we're seeing so much of society, morality in society fall into the gutter. And the reason is because men and women have abandoned the roles that God assigned for them at creation. Well, this past week, we've been looking at the roles of the Christian husband. And today we want to start by saying that a husband's love for his wife is to be a refining love. You remember Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That, of course, was the goal that Paul outlines there that Christ has for his church, his bride, to present her on that day before his Father, not having any spot, not having any blemish. His purifying love is doing that now. But a day is coming when that final presentation of his bride will be visible to the entire heavenly realm. Can you imagine it? All the refining, all the years of care, all the nourishment, he's going to present his bride, his church, in the heavenly places to his Father around the throne with all the angelic beings and everyone amazed at what Christ has done. But for every husband in a marriage, the goal should be the same. That's what Paul is really telling us here, that just as Christ is tenderly nourishing, cherishing, protecting, and growing his bride, for the last day to present her before the throne room in heaven, so the husband will stand before the Lord and present to him his bride. What Paul is essentially telling us here is that the husband has a vital part in his wife's transformation. If the husband would understand this, his responsibility toward this end, I believe strongly he will take the calling all the more seriously that God has given him to exercise these roles as what a Christian husband should be. She is on her way to glory, and God has given the man an active agent in her refinement so as to picture how Jesus is working to prepare you for glorification as a Christian. Now, Paul's words in terms of neglect, of course, are very strong. In fact, he says that the husband's love for his wife should be so strong that he's to love her as his own body. Neglect of the wife, neglect of leading her spiritually, neglect in terms of protecting her from the world's influences, neglect of nourishing and cherishing her is part and parcel, Paul says, to hating your own person. Just as we're joined to Christ and are in union with Him, that's a great word we like to use, a theological word, a biblical, a truth, that we are in union with Jesus Christ, with Him, so too when the man and the woman marry, they become one flesh. And they even bring forth the emblem of that oneness with children of their own likeness and in their own likeness. Now, a man shirking in his responsibility to love his wife is rejecting the very thing his oneness should picture, the mystery of the union that Christ has with his bride, the church. And let me say, this is why God hates divorce. I don't know if we could be any stronger about that. God hates divorce. Because in Christ, he will never allow his bride to be cast off. It is an unbreakable union. He's promised that through thick and thin, better or for worse, he will complete the work he started in his church. I mean, that's exactly what Philippians 1, 6 teaches. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it because Christ has given his life for his church, his bride. A separation then of a man and a woman scorns the very thing that marriage is designed to reflect. And when a marriage is destroyed, something is destroyed in the man. A sort of suicide, in a sense, has occurred because the union of becoming one has been broken, and both are no longer complete. Their oneness has been shattered. As many a pastor have said, when a marriage falls apart and the wife bolts, which is really fairly common, at least as statistics go, and what many pastors are saying today, usually, after the children leave home and this man comes for help, he says, "I just don't understand. I just don't understand what happened." When a man comes into counseling with that scenario, the reply every time is that that is the end of a problem, not the beginning. He's not saying something that all of a sudden came about where now the divorce has come. It is something that has been a problem for years that has not been addressed and taken care of. And so this is exactly why Paul is challenging all Christian husbands to think about the love that we are to have for our wives. I want to quote to you something that John MacArthur used in one of his messages on marriage and the family. And it's so powerful, I want to read it with you a bit today. It describes the typical path that quite often in our country ends in divorce. I was so moved by it, I want every Christian husband here to think about this. This is a woman writing to MacArthur, and she said this: "The kids are in bed, there's nothing on TV tonight. I ask my husband if he minds if I turn off the tube. He grunts. As I walk to the set, my mind is racing. Maybe tonight we will talk. I mean, have a conversation that consists of more than my usual question or his mumbled one-word answer or no answer at all. I interject, something that he would not do at work if he's to climb the ladder of success. Silence. I live in a world of continuous noise, but between him and me, silence. Please, oh God, let him open up. I initiate again for the 1,000th time. My heart pounds. Oh, how can I word it this time? What can I say that will open the door to just talk? I don't have to have a deep, meaningful conversation. Just something. As I open my mouth, he gets up and goes to the bedroom. The door closes behind him. The light showing under the door gives way to darkness, and so goes my hope. I sit alone on the couch. My heart begins to ache. I'm tired of being alone. Hey, I'm married. I have been for years. Why do I sit alone? The sadness undergoes through a change slowly, and then through increased fervor, I get mad. I'm mad. I'm sick and tired of living with a sissy and coward. You know, he's afraid of me. Hostile, you say? You better believe it. I'm sick and tired of living in a world of passive men." And then she goes on to say in this letter how Dad never plays with the children. He's too busy, but he has time for golf, riding his four-wheeler. Even more moving here is his daughter. She speaks of her daughter beginning to like boys. She says, "I know what's coming. She needs her father. Yet my husband has no time for her. No hugs, care, or anything." And she closes the letter by saying, "Worst of all, this is the very same thing his father did to him." What a moving letter, isn't it? Can you imagine this man standing before the Lord on Judgment Day, presenting his wife to the Lord, hurting, broken, unloved, neglected, while all the while he should have been striving for her radiancy, nurturing her, spiritually growing her, a calling that God said is to reflect the salvation and love that Christ has given to his church. I suggest to you that this is a common scenario in many households and is the pathway toward divorce. Why? Well, because in this scenario, the husband has completely neglected loving his wife. Can you imagine if we were to write such a letter to our Heavenly Father? Now think about this. If we were to write a letter to our Heavenly Father, "All I need is the warmth of Jesus. I want to talk to Jesus. I want to know He cares. I want to spend time with Him, but He's not there. My heart is aching." We've never known such a thing as Christians. It's shameful to think of that possibility. Wouldn't we be miserable if our Savior shunned us? Well, what then, husbands of our wives? But Jesus doesn't do that, does he? He loves us with an unfailing love, an unbreakable love, an enduring love, a cherishing love, a nurturing love. And Paul calls husbands, all husbands, to show the same kind of love to their own wives. I admit to you, thinking about this today, you may be thinking that standard is just too high. Who can do it? Well, it's God's standard. But even though we may fail, we have a Savior who will never fail us. Again, maybe husbands, we have failed. Maybe there's been terrible sin on our parts. Perhaps we have been for years neglecting what God calls us to do. I mean, no husband here is going to say, I've been neglecting, I've loved my wife as Christ has loved the church. But repent. Look to him. I'm utterly moved and humbled to think that even when we fail in this most noble calling, even when we fail to show forth in gratitude and loving our wives, the love that he's shown to us, he desires to purify and to heal. He desires to redeem even your marriage relationship and turn it around. You must look to him. That's the beauty of the gospel, friends. No matter how unlovely we are and have been and will be, his love is unbreakable. When Jesus poured himself out on the cross, it was a love that will endure and complete what it started. That's what is comforting today. And he gives us husbands the privilege to reflect to the world the love of our wives, the love that Christ has for us in doing everything in his power to prepare us for that day when we will be presented as a glorious church, having no spot or wrinkle or any such things. Husbands, if you are a Christian today, may this gospel drive you in your love for your wives. And if not, you need to turn to Christ and believe in him and begin to reflect the love that Christ has for his church. One of our great joys is to worship our Creator and our Redeemer each and every Sunday. You are welcome to join us 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. At the Linden United Reformed Church. You may call us 360-318-0429, or you may visit us on the web, www.lindenurc.com. May you have a blessed day, and may Jesus Christ be your only comfort in life and in death.